Welcome to A Change in Conversation, the podcast that helps you turn tech resistance into user adoption. If you're leading a tech transformation and you want to get the buy-in from all critical stakeholders so you launch with impact in a noisy workplace, this is for you. I'm your host, Arne Kötting, CEO of Cozen. And in each episode, I'll share proven strategies from over 20 years of practice that turn your next program launch into a career-defining success. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to A Change in Conversation. I am Arne Kötting and your host. Think about your last big tech rollout. An ERP or CRM implementation, a system upgrade, a migration, anything that was big, business critical, and expensive. How was this program positioned? Did it inspire confidence and the feeling of, oh, we need this? Or did people look at it and thought, why are we even doing this? What I see again and again in large tech programs, especially SAP and more general ERP rollouts, is that leaders swinging between two extremes. Either they underpromise, meaning they describe the change in purely technical terms, modernizing the core, a necessary upgrade, data storage improvement. And that's often accurate, but as I always say, completely uninspiring. Or extreme two, they overpromise. They paint a miracle vision. Smooth workflows, instant productivity gains, everything better on day one. Now, the truth of the kind of tech changes you and I are working on is that even though they are huge, expensive, and incredibly complex, they are often invisibly above the line. Most of the heavy lifting is in the IT machine room. And then people log in after go live and think, this is it? This is what everyone was so excited about? They don't see the architecture. They don't see the data model. They only feel what is different in their workday. And that's why this topic matters. Because the expectations you set at the start of your program will define how people judge your program at go live. In this episode, I'll break down three things. Number one, the trap of overpromising. Number two, the trap of underpromising. And number three, how to find the right balance for your program based on the real impact and your specific risks. So let's get into it. Let's go back to the first extreme, overpromising on your program. And here I'd like to differentiate between two forms of highly risky overpromising that I see time and time again. The first form of overpromising is overpromising the smoothness. Under pressure, I get this, it's tempting to present the new system as the solution to everything. Then you hear lines like, this will make life easier for everyone. Data will finally flow seamlessly or end to end. It'll make you run a report in the matter of minutes instead of days as before. But the reality, as mentioned before, of big tech implementations, well, short-term turbulences, reports break, tools glitch, people clinch to old habits. If you promote a smooth landing, the turbulence feels like a betrayal. People don't think, oh, okay, I understand. This is a super complicated technical change, so issues are normal. No, they think, you weren't honest with us. And the second form of overpromising is overpromising the magnitude of change. People judge the change only by what touches their routines, not by technical complexity. And that's exactly what makes tech change so tricky. On the one hand, people deserve to understand where all this investment is going. And on the other hand, the topic is oftentimes so complex that you lose them the moment you go into detail. Now let's move to the other side, the trap of underpromising. Some IT leaders go into what I call a modesty mode. They say little, they stick to technical reasons, they avoid selling too hard because, hey, think about all the things that could go wrong. Now, the problem? You lose the attention war. Did you know that inside a mid to large-sized organization, there are typically around 40 initiatives running in parallel? And did you also know that an average office employee spends approximately 10 minutes per day skimming all central communications? That's it. 10 minutes divided by 40 initiatives. So, if your story is underwhelming, too technical, too internal, too self-referential, it simply disappears. And here's the thing. Employees don't resist change because they're stubborn. They resist because they don't understand why it matters. Harvard research shows that employees prefer clear, honest explanation of business logic in a change. So not vague optimism and also not technical details. And we've seen this with many clients. If you talk only about features, functionalities, or the technical details, the problem is you limit the story to a tiny box. But when you reframe the narrative from, let's say, system replacement to data potential, suddenly, the story becomes relevant and the storytelling box in which you operate as a program become way bigger. Because data is strategic, data touches everyone. Data gives you new playing fields. That's why under-promising is dangerous. Your story, your program becomes too small for people to care. So, now that we've seen the two extremes, the question is, how do you find the right strategic positioning for your program? It comes down to two factors. Factor number one, the actual change impact. You really need to understand what people will experience and feel at go live. Will routines change? Will the interface look different? Will workflows shift? Will they gain new reporting or analytical capabilities? To make it as simple as possible, imagine your program on a wow factor scale. Low, no change. Middle, notable change. And high, new world. To illustrate this, take an S4 HANA SAP implementation or migration. Many of you know that there are two approaches here, brownfield and greenfield. Same program name, but the visible change, completely different. Brownfield, mostly backend, very little above the line change. Greenfield, completely new processes, high change visibility. Point I want to make is you cannot position these two programs the same way. Factor number two of finding your right balance between underpromising or overwhelming is the hit and shit potential. Now, we've unpacked this in our episode on how to assess the comms risk of your tech change. In a nutshell, every program, no matter how well managed, has hit topics. So those are early wins and positive outcomes in the eye of the stakeholders. And shit topics. Those are risks, pain points, disruptions. Real quick, if you're leading a major tech program and wondering if you're heading towards high adoption or expensive go-live chaos, well, then we built something for you. We've taken 20 years of tech change experience and turned it into a simple online tool, the Adoption Readiness Check. In just a few minutes, it benchmarks your program against the six critical adoption drivers. you'll receive a personalized 30-page report showing exactly your strengths, your hidden engagement risks, and concrete improvement ideas. Head to www.changeplaybook.com to conduct your free adoption readiness check. And now, back to the show. And as a tech leader, your role is to understand the balance between the two over the full duration of the program, including the likelihood that either side will surface. That's what allows you to communicate credibly without overwhelming or underpromising. If you want the practical framework for doing exactly this, I walk through it in that episode, so it's worth listening to it. So, to summarize, these two factors, change impact and hit and shit profile, determines how loud your program can be, how honest you must be, and how proactive or reactive you need to communicate. Now, one word on the influence of culture on the right balance between overwhelming or underpromising. American audiences respond typically well to, you know, a little bit more enthusiasm, and a couple of other cultures too. So if you sound too moderate, it'll not land there. Whilst, let's say, Dutch or Scandinavian audiences prefer more factual, grounded messaging. Too much euphemism are also not advisable here. That's why your positioning must be set centrally, yes, but your tone needs room for local adaptation. Okay, now enough theory. Here is how you can actually do it. Step number one, diagnose your true change impact. So put yourself in the shoes of your users and other critical stakeholder groups on the day of the go-live. What will they feel, experience, think, do differently than before? Use the wow factor scale I described before. Be brutally honest. This will tell you, the results of this reflection will tell you how big your story should be. Step number two, map your hit and shit topics. Do a structured risk assessment that I outlined in the other episode on assessing your communication risks. Do this risk assessment from now until go live, hypercare, and even beyond. Identify the wins, the gains, the positive surprises for all relevant stakeholder groups, and identify the risks, the delays, the potential frictions, and the mess-ups. This tells you how honest you need to be, at what time, with what audience group. Step number three, avoid the vendor messaging trap. It's actually quite funny. Whenever we work with clients, we see the same patterns in the messaging, and it's almost always because someone simply reused the software provider's templates and key messaging. But the truth is, your software provider doesn't understand your culture. They don't know your internal language, your past failures, your sensitivities, or the words that trigger resistance. And when you push out generic vendor-style messaging, it can backfire badly. It can harm your program's brand and credibility before the project has even picked up speed. So don't copy vendor euphemisms. And don't confuse business case calculation with your actual change story. So what I'm hearing again and again from clients is they're saying, well, there is no business case behind program XYZ, if it's, let's say, a migration or something. Well, that's not good enough for your change story. You need to find a reason to believe for the business, because they got to invest quite some time, resources, input, ideas for this. So you owe them this story and this angle. And by the way, there is always a good angle that is not overpromising, that is not sugarcoating, but something that inspires people and motivates them. Step number four, practice honest expectation management. Now, it is super important to mention that even if you decide to focus more on the positive impact your program does, this does not mean that you cannot acknowledge short-term turbulences. You actually have to. You sure can explain long-term value whilst being honest about the challenging journey ahead of you. We always say to our clients in these big transformations that not every change will benefit everyone, but every change benefits someone. And that's what the people need to understand. And typically that also helps them to kind of appreciate the ups and downs. And one last thing on expectation management. Let me give you a real world example I recently experienced. Bear with me. It might sound a little bit off topic at first, but I promise it'll make sense. So one morning I walked down my street and suddenly everything is torn up again. Barriers everywhere, loud machines, detours, delays, the full program. Everyone was annoyed. And the frustration wasn't just about this construction. It was also about the history of it, because every single construction project on that street in our city for years had always taken longer than promised, always more disruptive than expected, always more annoying than planned. So of course, when the new signs went up saying it would take 2 weeks, nobody believed it. Everyone thought, yeah, sure, here we go again. And then something surprising happened. They finished earlier, a full 1 week earlier. No big announcement, no PR moment. They simply removed the barriers, opened the street, and let people enjoy it. And the reaction was fascinating. People were delighted, genuinely happy. All the inconvenience of the past days gone, forgotten, because their expectations had been completely over-delivered. And that's the point I want to land here. Sometimes it's strategically smart to communicate a later date, so you can pleasantly surprise people when you finish earlier. Sometimes it's smart to promise scope A and then deliver scope A plus. Because people forget a lot of pain when you over-deliver against their expectations. It boosts credibility, it boosts your reputation, and it creates a moment of real goodwill, one you cannot manufacture afterwards. Step number 5, localize the narrative. So it's important that you give one central positioning story, but you need to allow local adaptations. I mentioned that before. The tone, the cultural norms, the examples need to be taken into account on the ground. No way you can anticipate all of this in your global program office. This is exactly why multipliers and their efficient empowerment matter so much in our change playbook. It makes sure that your program positioning lands everywhere in the right way without losing consistency. So I hope you've understood by now that finding the right positioning isn't a nuance. It's not a nice to have. It's actually the foundational decision that shapes everything. How your program is perceived. It shapes your entire communication architecture, your communications intensity, the tone you strike, and the channels you use. Positioning is where the identity of your program is born. So take your time. Do it deliberately. Now, if you're leading a tech change right now and you're unsure about how to position your program with most impact, then let's talk. Book a free 15-minute session with me. You'll find the link below in the show notes. Of course, we won't be able to solve everything, but I can help you avoid the biggest mistake, point you towards your most suitable positioning, and give you one or two practical tips you can immediately apply. Your positioning decision is too important to rush, and it will influence how your program is remembered as a burden or as a true value driver. Thanks for listening to A Change in Conversation. I hope you're walking away with something that you can put into action right away. If you like this episode, hit subscribe so you'll never miss the practical strategies that could make your next tech rollout a career-defining success. You'll hear more from me next time on A Change in Conversation.